Today, we're talking about the past, the future, and guess what? We're having a ball while we do it.
You did there, because one of the episodes we watch in this Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast where we yap and sometimes bring up the episodes of Dragon Ball Z that we happen to have watched, Vegeta Has a Ball is an episode title.
Yes, which is
an
entendre.
It is, because not only does he acquire that of the mythical Dragon Ball,
but he loves a bit of...
Go ahead.
It's a little early in the podcast though, so I like
to mention murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
I'm like...
Well, he does.
He does.
He does. I mean, come on.
But it's for the greater good.
I mean, be honest though. Like 100%. Be real with me. He was enjoying. Like,
oh, dude,
Vegeta was having a happy time. He was.
He was having a ball.
We finish each other's sentences here on the podcast sometimes, except for when
we don't.
It's not explicitly stated. But you, that, ironically, you just. Did you need to do that? You said we fit. I was like, we finished each other's sentence here, except for when we, and then you said don't. Was that on purpose or was that like an elaborate bit from you? Because that.
Like, I wish it was.
I was going to say that felt like a little like, what are we?
Woo! I wish it was. It's
getting a little hot in this room. Holy. But anyway, no, my point was like Vegeta was unironically. It's a little hot. It's like I immediately thought of the Buu saga where this man is just depressed, down, tremendous. He feels second fiddle to Goku. This is Vegeta thriving. He is just moisturizing every day. His skincare routine's on point.
Do you have a skincare routine?
I'm going to bet that you do, actually. I bet you use a lot of products. But me, I use soap and water. I feel like that's...
No way do you put soap and water on your face.
When I shower. Like,
soap that goes on your body, you put on your face?
No, not explicitly, no.
I would not recommend that.
Okay,
it does dry your skin out.
Okay.
You don't do any moisturizer or anything?
No.
So I don't have like an extensive skincare routine.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't say it's like extensive, but I guess it's extensive compared to yours, which is non-existent.
Yes.
I wash my face morning, night with...
Okay, that's pretty extensive.
So let's take a step back.
Okay.
I used to have very bad like acne.
Okay.
Like, I tried everything under the sun. Nothing would happen. It kind of went away in college. Like, I'd have good weeks, bad weeks. On this podcast, I talk a lot about having a movie theater job. Can you guess what is not good for your acne and pores?
Probably being around just that raw popcorn, all that butter, dude.
The butter, yeah. And you go, and like where we made the popcorn was in this tiny, it was the room was basically a closet. On the left, it had where we would put the Cokes to hook up to go to like our, you know, fountain drinks. And then on the right was the popcorn machines. There was two of them. One was broke forever. We never got it fixed. But it was a small room, terrible ventilation. When you walked in, you walked out, there was like a little layer of butter on you. Like, if I was on popcorn making duty, like I had to take a shower. I'm pretty much always had to take a shower before like I hung out after work. But like you were just covered in this layer of like oil.
Did it smell good though?
No.
Oh.
Like, no, because when you think about it, like I worked there for 5 years, like you get kind of over that smell a little bit.
Okay.
You know? I mean, nowadays I can, but like, and I still, I thought I made the best popcorn. Everyone always kind of thought they made the best popcorn, but I thought I made truly the best popcorn. Yes, yeah, the right amount of butter, because we didn't have like any particular formula that we were told to follow.
Just had 16-year-olds back there cooking.
Yes,
like fucking Walter White breaking it down.
We got to do whatever, like we would typically guide new like hires and stuff, but for the most part, like you, as long as it wasn't shitty popcorn, you could do what you want. Like you could kind of be a chef, you know.
I'm imagining you giving somebody popcorn and they're like, thank you, have a good day, and then they take a bite and they go, this is fucking fantastic, and you're like just fucking Heisenberg in the corner, like,
yeah,
say my name.
So that job did not help, and I'd have like good weeks bad weeks, but I finally after we got married and I was like in my mid-20s.
Not
I was
just us.
Like, oh, yeah.
Specifically not us.
Not me and
you
not
and your
a,
wife.
No, me and my wife, Brianna, of over 10 years. When we got married and we, you know, had our own jobs, living on our own, stuff like that. I always had my own job. I don't know why I said like I didn't always have a job.
Like you worked for her.
Then. Yeah. But
if this is somebody's first podcast that they're just listening to, you're like, I'm learning a lot of weird facts about this man. He got married to a man, divorced, and then married a woman, and then always worked underneath the woman. But yeah, no, go ahead.
I finally, the acne did not get better. Because, like, one of the things that my family would always tell me is, like, well, you'll get older and the acne will go away. No, it didn't.
Oh, man.
No, yeah. It didn't. So I ended up going through Accutane. And you know what that is?
No, what is that? Go ahead.
You, like, take, it's like a medicine that you take.
Oh, okay.
But it's such a, it, first off, Accutane, the brand, was banned. But the drug that was in it, they like made generic versions of it because it does help to dry up your skin. But there are side effects that happen.
Like?
One is hair loss. Okay. Every time you would take a pill, every single time you would take a pill, to get the pill, you had to peel off a sticker that had a pregnant lady with a cross through her. Because it is a proven fact that if you take Accutane while pregnant with a child, it will cause birth deformat, like some sort of birth defect to the child. It is very harmful.
Okay.
So like you have to make sure that you're not pregnant. I'm pretty sure like as like a woman, you have to like be abstaining from like sex or completely like on birth. Like it is a very serious thing to do that.
Yeah.
But as a man, I had to go in. And get blood work done every month to make sure it wasn't messing with me. And at 24 years old, when I did it, it raised my blood pressure and my cholesterol up. And so I was having to go in, and then it went from being getting your blood work done every month to every week. I was having to go in and have blood work
done
to make sure. Yeah. It was like it dry it, like while I was on it, it dried my lips out super bad. It dried my skin out to the point of looking like scaly, like a snake. Like I know some people will say that.
I've had that.
But it looked, literally did look like it was that bad. It dried out my skin so bad. But ever since then, I've been pretty good. Like, I've been pretty solid. Like, you can see right now, it's been pretty okay.
And it's not something you're, like, continuously on now.
I've always had some sort of, no, you can't. Realistically speaking, your doctor, she told me that really we will only ever let you do 2 sessions of this ever. If that does not work, then we find something else. But, like, for your own safety, we can only really let you do this 2 times ever.
Okay. So yeah, you get two tries.
It's
basically,
you go through it for 6 months.
The way you've described it, this is the nuke for pimples. This is the final.
And it did work for me.
This is the final world's end option. It's like, well, you're a grown man. It hasn't gone away with age. This is the final ripcord.
Another defect that had for me, because it is drying you out so bad. One of the things is it's really bad for your joints, especially while you're on it. And it actually hurt to lift. Again, I was in my, this isn't like a, like people love to make old man jokes on me now. And I, you know, I am in my 30s, but this was like a early to mid 20s Tyler who had lifted at that point for 5+ years. And like, I was noticing it, like doing like any sort of lift that dealt with my elbows, my elbow movement, I could like feel the weakness in it. It was weird.
And this thing is,
and it hurt.
This thing kicks people's ass.
Yeah. And it was a proven thing. Like literally she said, if you're a runner, like take it kind of light, like don't run a ton, stuff like that. Like, don't lift too heavy. So I still want to be in the gym, but yeah, I was taking it a lot lighter. Like, I was younger, so I was like, whatever, dude.
Whatever, dude. I'll be fine.
But I've always had kind of that. My whole point of this is I've always had some level of a routine. I would say it's the most chill it's ever been. I just wash my face morning, night, and I put lotion on morning and night. Then ever since I did the Accutane, I just call it that because it's easier to call it that. I have like a prescription level thing called tretinoin that you just like put on your skin. That's supposed to like, she told me that it's more of a preventive thing, but I've also put it on after like a pimple might pop up and it's like gone within a day.
Yeah, no, my thing was never.
That's all I do. So wash my face morning, night, put lotion on morning, night. And then I put that stuff on if there's like a problematic spot on my face, and that's all I do.
Yeah, no.
It's not that complicated.
I do nothing. Acne was never really my big thing. Like I just went through like maybe like teenager acne, but even then it was like a couple pimples every now and then, you know, maybe some unfortunate looking ones on my on lip or upper face, I guess. But my thing was always like dandruff and scalp issues, dude.
Oh, okay.
That shit, like the worst it's ever been. I mean, it like flares up. The number one conspiracy, we talked about conspiracy theories on the podcast and how I get annoyed by people that believe in them. My one.
Oh, you got one?
Yes. That I fully believe in is that Head and Shoulders has to be like a scam product.
I think it works, actually.
No. I think it works.
Because we used it on our baby. Because babies can kind of get like, you know, like they can get dandruff and stuff. And we used it on him.
My thing for me, and this is, again, it is a conspiracy theory. I jokingly say I believe it, but I do, is that it works. But the second you get off Head and Shoulders, it comes back with a fucking vengeance. Okay. A mean vengeance, a mean, horrifying vengeance. So I switched to like using Selsun Blue, which is, dude, this shit reeks, dude. It smells like a tactical, like, poison one-off. And I'm not joking, because my roommate that lived with me, my bedroom and shower were over here. My shower was separated by my bedroom, and then my door, and then bathroom door, door to bathroom, door to bedroom.
And you could smell it?
He could smell it? House and living room, door, his door to bedroom. And when he would open his door to bedroom, he'd be like, oh, was it a Selsun Blue day? And I'm like, sorry, man. That's how strong
this
shit was.
Insane.
It was the entire house smelled like Selsun Blue. Nowadays, though, I actually switched over to the like a two. I don't even know what it's called, but it's pretty good. It works, and I use it like once or twice a week, and I just don't have that problem anymore. But I did that after going to Japan, where apparently people say this is like my acne issue. Only it never got as serious with something dangerous. But people say when you go over to Japan, the water like quality is different. So it's prone to like cause irritation to if your body's just not used to it, it'll like react and get irritated easily, which I don't know if that's true. But for me, I didn't bring like any like dandruff shampoo because I'm not really thinking about it going overseas for the first time. Dude, that was probably the most amount of irritation I've ever felt in my entire life. Not like just pain. I mean, it did hurt. But like you know how like when wolves get caught in like bear traps, they gnaw off their own leg to escape. I was getting about ready to just fucking cut off the top layer of my scalp, bro, because it was just constant scratching. I literally was up all night with a comb. This probably wasn't the best strap, but I was animalistic at this point, just scratching my head over and over and over again just to minimize the pain for a second and the irritation for a second. And let me describe. I told you a story earlier.
This is crazy, dude. What?
I told you a story earlier. I'm the kind of person that once I make a big enough mistake once, I will never in my life make
brought the biggest thing.
Never in my life make the same fucking mistake twice. That is one thing about me is if a mistake does not quite literally kill me, I will never be making that fucking mistake ever again in my life. You best believe that right now on this trip, Nano, I have packed the world's most powerful anti-dandruff shampoo, anti-irritation shampoo of all time because I will never make the same mistake twice. It just will not fucking happen. So I take that everywhere with me now.
Is there some in there?
Yes.
When people visit, sometimes they just leave their shit and I've just left it. And there's like a ton
this is prescription.
Different...
This is prescription shit.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've it's not like I'm saying I haven't forgot it. I just recently forgot a bottle, in LA when I was there. But it would just be funny to leave it here because it would be like your shampoo selection, which Nano does. He's a very generous host. Your bathroom's pretty much fully kitted out with.
Yeah,
just about every
beyond
survival.
Like beyond what people have left on their own. I don't know. Like when I go to like the dentist and they give me an additional. Toothbrush. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go put that upstairs in the guest bathroom.
And it's all there. It's a total survival kit.
By the way, I just wanted to bring it up so you can see it. This was on every single one.
It literally says, do not get pregnant.
Every single pill I took had this. Every single one. I had to pill that off and I could take the pill. And I took them at work and like several of my buddies would always comment on this.
Scary, dude. It's like, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's like the Australian like cigarette boxes. Have you ever seen cigarette boxes overseas?
No.
You should look that up. It's like they do like scary pictures of lung disease and shit, like dying people basically. Like they take a picture of a dying person and says, this is going to be you if you buy this product. Or like just look up cigarette box warning overseas or I don't know. It's like you can't have brandings.
Is this really, that's really what it looks like?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. It just like is like you buy the product and it's like, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die every time you see the product. Almost to a point where like, while yes, I'm not for smoking, but it is, I do get how it's like, damn, man. Like I do feel bad for people. I feel bad for people that smoke in multiple ways, but I feel bad for them, man. Cause it's like, damn, they don't get a fucking second to think about how they're not like what they're doing to themselves. I guess there's really no other, like when you buy a drink, it's not like the drink comes with like, dude, you're killing your liver, you're killing your liver, yeah, you're killing your
every
liver.
Every time you pull this out to get a cigarette, you're like, you're reminded like, oh, smoking can cause blindness.
It's just like, again, I'm not.
Is that for real?
I don't know if it's those packages for certain, but definitely stuff like that. Yes. It's like shows diseases, shows what is happening. There's no branding. Yeah, pretty much that. Yeah. I think that's a real one. Yeah. But it's just shit like that, man. It's like scary shit. Like it would work, I guess, on me.
Yeah.
But like, I guess it's a thing where if it's not working on you, all it does is make the situation more sad. It's like, I need a cigarette. Pulls out pack. This will fucking end your life. It's just like, well, now this situation is just way more sad, dude. Like, clearly this is not, like, this is getting sad. But yeah, it's like, but yeah, I don't even know where I was. Anyway, not going to make the same mistake twice. Dandruff was my thing. Dude, it was bad. I remember, like, bad dandruff is like a crazy fucking thing because I remember I was playing League of Legends. Wow, this is a horrible, this is like max degen shit. Where I was playing League of Legends and just flakes.
While you were in Japan?
No, just this is like when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Flakes were falling out of my head and covering up the keyboard. And I was like, this is fucking gross, dude. This is nasty shit. There's flakes falling out of my head. And I'm talking like it's snow.
I've never had dandruff that bad.
It's like snow, dude. It's like I was a cartoon character. I was basically like, if there was a Nickelodeon sitcom and a character had dandruff, it would have been like cartoonish. It was snowing from my head at all times.
Damn.
It was bad, dude. And now, I mean, not really. Not anymore.
At least I don't think. Does it look like I have dandruff from what you're saying?
I mean, you would know. I mean, I think everybody, like, sometimes you get flakes out of your head because it's just like, yeah, it's still skin.
Yeah.
But you would know if it's like dandruff because it's like, it would be snowing on your keyboard. Your front of your laptop would just be white specks. I also that snakeskin thing you talked about, I kind of stopped now. I was actually talking to Kenzie about this. I was like, it doesn't really happen. But you, as a kid, it used to be like yearly for me. Like in Florida, like during the spring or summer, my hands would get flaky to the point where you could like peel it off. Like how kids rub glue on their hands. That would just happen to my hands naturally.
That's what was going on with my skin. It was crazy.
I always kind of liked it though. I didn't know it was a bad thing that your skin was dry. I just thought I was like, oh, hey. I mean, I was a little kid. I was like, I'm like a salamander. This is fucking sweet.
That shit hurt.
Did it?
For me.
Well, yeah. I think that was probably the medicine thing.
Dude,
then.
It hurt. Oh my God. It was so bad.
Mine did not hurt. Mine was just pure fun.
Because it was like, because it really did. There was like divots like in between the skin. And so like if it. Like, yeah, and it, oh, dude, it hurt. It was the dry, I mean, like, I'm not kidding. She told me, she's like, when you leave here, and after you take that first pill, go buy yourself, like, 10 chapsticks and have them everywhere. And I was like, okay. 2 or 3 days in, dude, I had chapstick all of the time. I mean, my lips were never not dry. Never not dry. It sucked.
Dude.
It was so bad. It is like dry. It's like dry. It literally like dries your. Like I'm not kidding. Like,
and you got me thinking. My lips are now. It's like
yeah.
I can't even think about it.
But no, like I genuinely looking in the mirror, I could tell when I was done. Like the pores on my actual pores seemed smaller.
Jesus Christ! You're just drying up, or you're just
is nuts
crisping yourself.
It was nuts. It was nuts. Who knows what kind of long lasting effects will end up happening to me?
My God.
I mean, I might end up having something later in my life that's like truly a cause of taking that for 5 months. It was supposed to be 6. She took it off of it because we couldn't get my cholesterol to come back down. She put me on cholesterol medicine, did that, kept going back in.
I mean, it worked. I mean, overall, though, it seemed to work out. You only needed the 5 months.
I do have high cholesterol now, I think.
Oh, well, there you go. Which could be a cause for
that. That could be one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean.
But, you know, I also, at least I know 20-year-old Tyler was like, would I rather continue to have acne for the rest of my life, or would I want to would I shave some time off my life, but that be one less thing I'm worrying about?
And
I think that's where my mindset was.
And you made that choice fully knowing
it has been, especially now that I'm someone on camera all the time. If I had the acne I had before, it would be something I would be conscious of for sure.
Yeah. So
I know it is something I would think about.
Yeah, so I mean,
now I don't think about it. Now I think at least I have some pimples on my face, and I don't really think about it as much. But it was just so much worse.
At least it's a choice that paid off. At least it paid off. You know, it worked out. So, yeah, at least,
dude, be lucky that you never had the acne. Sucks. I mean, I would literally wake up every single day with new pimples to pop.
I literally thought it was just because
multiple
I was,
pimples to pop.
It just wasn't a battle I had to face. It was something like my brother had, you know, not like super bad acne, but he had acne. But I just never had that. Everybody in my family had like different person. I think that, do you have siblings?
I have half siblings.
Yeah, I always wondered if like siblings spread the familial genes pain. I mean, I'm sure it can work out however it works out.
I don't understand how this just popped up. This was so easy to find. Look at that.
That doesn't, it doesn't, it doesn't look that bad.
What?
It's not that bad. Honestly, it kind of doesn't even look like, I mean, did you like cover it up or something? No, I see it. But it looks like freckles acne.
Those are all in, dude. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 pimples just from here to here.
Maybe I'm biased.
Does it include my forehead?
I mean,
or the other side of my face?
Dude, I like to think of myself as a pretty honest person, as a guy that definitely went through kid life.
And then look at my wife with the clearest face of all time. No,
I mean,
that is
pretty clear skin, yes. I mean, I'm not saying she doesn't have clear skin to you. I don't think that example was super over the edge bad, or honestly, I wouldn't have even said bad.
It was bad.
But it clearly affected you, so that means your choice was worth it.
It did.
I'm not even commenting on that.
I don't even know how did I manage to have that pop up so easily? That's so crazy. That is so crazy. Look, there's a baby Tyler and Brianna right there.
Is that like early high school?
That is actually college.
That you guys look like children. Like, you don't look like grown up at all. Like, you look like
I'm telling you, I think the reason why I think it's starting to finally like even out now. Like, I don't get the whole "you look super young for your age" comments anymore, but like for the longest time I very much so had like a baby face. Like, I'm 18 or 19 there.
Yeah, you look I mean, like, you could easily, and I'm not even joking, obviously, I'm just going off your face, but in this photo, if you said like this was middle school and you were both 14, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Are they just going to punch in on that?
I guess I could tell you.
It's hard with the glare, but
it is, yeah.
You do just look like, if you had said like this was middle school science fair, I'd be like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. You know what else is nice?
Well, I was going to say you would know it isn't nice, but what are you going to lead into that was nice?
Vegeta having a ball, man.
Okay, but
let's not talk about
kill people, man. He did.
But he got a Dragon Ball.
He did. He didn't. So, I mean, we both were a bit upset with this, but Vegeta annihilates an entire group of Namekian people. They will not give him the answer on where the ball is.
Where's the ball? You'll never find it.
You'll never find it. Okay. He kills the guy that says that, the final elder Namekian. He walks into the first house and it's on a podium with a spotlight on it with practically a neon sign that says Dragon Ball, and he takes it. And that's it. That was the amount of security or like, there was no password. There was no like opening a chest. It was out in the open. No glass cover. He could have just took it, man. He didn't need to kill those people. But I was more upset with the way the plan is steal one ball, hide it from Frieza, delay the
inevitable. That way he can't summon Shenron.
But he walks outside of the door, throws it into the nearest river.
Literally right off the bank, too. He didn't even go out to the middle.
Didn't fly anywhere.
Right off the bank, just went, boop.
Drops in the river right next to all the dead bodies and go, he'll never think it's right below his nose. But wouldn't he, though? But, like, wouldn't you tell your men to search this area spreading outwards and also just looking for Vegeta? I mean, the plan is look for Vegeta, but in the meantime, spread out. Surely, but whatever, dude. He did have a blast.
One thing I want to note during this fight was when all the Namekians charge up, fire blast at Vegeta because they all surround him. It's then just a crater in the ground, and both of us I think one of us mentioned it or something, had like an idea that maybe he went underground, but we both are presuming he's like going to show up somewhere because this new favorite thing he loves to do is vanish and then show up behind somebody. Like, he loves doing that, apparently. He just did it to Dodori in last week's or 2 weeks episode ago.
It's the speed feats, bro.
Yeah. But instead, he's underground, floats up out of the ground with the rocks and everything surrounding him.
It looks like he's
blasts them away.
Like,
yes.
Classic Toph, like, earthbending
and
suit.
Some like static electricity comes out of the rocks for a second and then
he's really enjoying his newfound power and position in the Frieza Force. Yes. For sure. He is enjoying it. And the rocks actually take out some Namekians. Like, they kill some Namekians. We can at least assume, or it knocks them over.
Yeah.
It's
a cutaway, though. We don't see him actually kill everyone. There's a,
yeah, no,
he does that. And then it's a cutaway, come back. And that's when the elder with a child is the only two people that left alive.
And that child is like barely alive.
Yeah. And he fires a beam at him and then he walks inside the elder's like main building. And there it is on a podium.
Dragon Ball time.
As we already talked about. So
bingo.
The major events, just so we make sure we get it out of the way for this, is Vegeta wipes out all the Namekians of the village before finding,
and
hiding the Dragon Ball, which we can talk about. Piccolo, Tien, Yamcha, and Chiaotzu arrive at King Kai's planet. Krillin begins his journey to Gurus with Dende to obtain the Dragon Ball, which they also mention the Power Awakening here.
Do they?
I thought that was what they were talking about, was he could unlock. Isn't that,
maybe. I think that was just us. I thought it was just us. But it could have been in the plot, but I don't know. It said they mainly want to go because he has the Dragon Ball and they want to get their one. So Vegeta has his one. Frieza has his five. So they need to at least have one card in the game. Otherwise, they're folded. Although I say they, but Gohan ends up staying back with Bulma for whatever reason. Krillin's been dealing with some anxiety, guilt for getting Gohan wrapped up in this. So he probably wants to go it alone, make sure they're not both caught, and takes Dende along. Who Dende, still a very much a liability. Cannot suppress his power. He is a walking beacon.
Also flies very slow.
Yeah. He's learning. He's like a baby. He's barely learning to fly. But more importantly is that stupid beacon ability that he has. Just constantly, because he attracts in the later stages of this episode, Vegeta does pick up on that little scent. He senses both of them, but he senses mainly for the fact that Dende is there.
Yeah.
Hones in. No hiding now.
I guess they didn't mention Guru being able to do that. That was just
us getting hype for a transformation.
Yeah. Because he is going to unlock their potential.
But speaking of potential, Yamcha, Piccolo, stalling for time because I forgot Chiaotzu, and then Tien, all make it from Snake Way to King Kai's, and they did it faster than Goku did.
Yep.
Officially confirmed. So they have more, I guess they're just stronger at a base level than Goku was.
I was about to say, I mean, it's not totally fair because they are a year older than Goku was when he did it.
Yeah.
And some change. Mm-hmm. And have trained more.
Yeah, they went through the Saiyan saga training.
And also, when you're in a group that pushes each other, a group of warriors.
You're giving it to the group effect.
Yeah, you can push each other.
It's like, come on, man.
Chiaotzu, come on, dude. Like,
yeah, so you think it wasn't Chiaotzu? Like, come on, Tien, let me see your knees, get up, come on. Come on, Piccolo. You don't think Chiaotzu was the one that was like orchestrating the...
Maybe. Is that why Chiaotzu's...
I picture Chiaotzu being like the...
guys, slow down.
No. The opposite. He's like the David Goggins. He's like the... I beg for them to make me want to stop. I want them to keep me running. Somebody go through David Goggins'
collection.
Look, I know people are against AI, but I think we can all agree that in this chase... Let's get Chiaotzu's voice AI onto a David Goggins speech, and you'll see just how natural it sounds. It's like, I beg for them to keep me uncomfortable. I yearn for it. I need it. I want the uncomfortableness. Bro, people are like, damn, he's murdering that speech. I have no idea what it is. But Chiaotzu, hidden OP, even though, it's the next episode where they actually like do training.
It is the next
episode. Because it ends with them on the phone.
It ends with the reveal of like they're there and King Kai's like, can you guess? Can you guess who's here? And he can't guess. And
that's pretty dumb of him, honestly. Goku was surprised that Kami wasn't there.
Yeah.
Did he think Kami wanted to get in on the train?
Oh, there we did find out. This is where we found out like Namekians are like would it be asexual?
Well, I guess also they don't have sex. So yes, they are asexual, and also just
cuz
I don't know what they call a
eggs.
One sex race. What would maybe hetero?
Because it's like it's the beings that basically they are similar to beings that split off from themselves.
God, this is a science term that I just forgot.
I know, and it's bugging me. But it's like an amiibo type thing.
Amiibo.
Amoeba.
It's a little Nintendo collectible. Yeah.
Shit, man.
No, they all have little Nintendo.
We're filming this late right now.
They all have NFC chips in the bottom of their shoes.
But essentially, we find out that Dende is one of Guru's children, and he's had like 100 children or something like that.
Oh, I didn't even know he was directly a Guru. Apparently, I missed a lot just thinking about the Vegeta scenes.
Yeah, so Dende explains how Guru is the eldest Namek and that he alone is responsible for repopulating his race on the planet. Dende says that he is Guru's 108th child. That's when Bulma's like, wait, what do you mean? How exactly is father capable of having a child all by himself? Dende says that the eggs came out from his mouth.
Yeah, he spit me out of his mouth. What is there to be confused about?
Yeah.
I do remember that scene because Bulma was confused and Krillin just didn't give a fuck, honestly. He just said, okay, moving on. Which based?
Yeah. Anything you want to chime in on before we get to differences from the manga? Shout out to the wiki as always. No,
let's keep it moving. Let's just steamroll right through
here. We go. Bulma gets mad when Krillin says that the food they eat isn't very good. In the manga, she makes no such comment. In the manga, because that Krillin, that's in reference to Dende, obviously. We also find out Namekians don't eat. Namekians only drink water. And we also get the lore on the fact that, you know, a big storm came through and really, like, turned Namek into
the storm just obliterated their beautiful trees.
Yeah, and destroyed their soil. And so they're trying to plant these trees and make the soil more, you know, fertile and all of that. Anyway, in the manga, so that was in reference to Krillin saying to Dende, you know, it's not that great, but...
Okay, so I did look it up. This is why I was on my phone. It was... I was trying to guess what the scientific word for this would be, and it appears to be just unisexual creatures.
Got it.
Which means they, like... And this, like, some species of whiptail lizards are only female. New individuals grow from eggs that develop without fertilization. So there you go. So Namekians are most close to some species of whiptail lizards.
Okay.
There you go.
In the manga, when Vegeta is at the Namekian village, he's just shown to slaughter them all. In the anime, the Namekians are shown putting up a fight before Vegeta kills them. Vegeta obliterates Suno immediately in the manga when the latter refuses to disclose where the four-star Dragon Ball is. In the anime, Vegeta initially turns his back on the elder to go find it himself before Suno rises to his feet, seemingly in a last attempt to stop the prince, only for Vegeta to get incensed and turn back towards Suno, killing him, the same as in the manga, with the former cursing his victim for continuing to defy him. In the anime, Krillin blames himself for not finishing Vegeta on Earth, which does not occur in the manga.
Nope. Well, all those changes were pretty good. They were just animating up the manga, so no complaints here for this one.
This is an interesting one.
Oh.
Spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers?
Kind of, sorry.
God damn it.
Krillin mentions in this episode that he would die on this planet.
Oh.
He would later be proven right as Frieza kills him in the Frieza Saga episode, Transformed at Last.
Come on, man. Spoilers. That can't be true.
In the previous episode, Unexpected Problem, the key blast Vegeta fires at the Namek Elder is orange, but in the recap at the beginning of this episode, the blast is blue.
Okay.
There's some more jumping around with some of the voice actor stuff. None of this is...
All right, let's move on.
It's time to rate the episode.
Rate that episode.
I don't know I want to give it.
Oh, really? I kind of don't.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of still thinking on it.
I'll go first. That's
all right, fine. Go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and just... I think that this one had... a step above from the last one. I really did enjoy Vegeta in the Earth compact ball thing. And there's some pretty cool moments here. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 7 because I gave the previous one a 6. So this one feels like just like a step above the previous one for me. For reference, you gave Unexpected Problem a 6 as well.
An unexpected. Okay. Yeah. I think that works out. I was thinking 6 in my head. I'm not going to lie, but the more I think about it, I did like the Vegeta stuff. I do like the Dende stuff. And I did enjoy this more than Unexpected Problems. So I have to give this a 7 to be fair.
I think it's really cool that we're to a point where differences from the manga is just like really, really specific moments in scenes and not entire scenes.
Yes, I think that's good. I think that's good.
That's pretty.
It
that's
also
pretty
makes
wicked.
It more interesting. Oh, that's, my God. I just pulled a string out of my sock, but go ahead. I mean, you're acting like that was crazy, bro, but the string was bothering me, man.
All right, guys, we are now moving on to the past and future, or as called in the Japanese version, listen to me, Goku, hands off Frieza. This is the 17th episode of the Namek Saga and the 52nd overall episode in the Uncut Dragon Ball Z series. It aired originally in Japan on June 20th of 1990 and September 13th, 2005. I used to have a friend with that birth date as well.
Okay, we got another one.
I can't remember.
You don't remember their name, but you remember their birthday?
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. So you just have to like spitfire a birthday message out into the universe and you know somebody out there is getting it. You just don't know who.
Pretty much.
Okay, all right. Well, this episode was good, although I personally would not have titled it after the keep your hands off Frieza part.
There's so much else that happens in this episode.
Yes. In fact, I'm specifically thinking of one that I was a bigger fan of. But yes, Goku is specifically told, hey, don't fight Frieza. King Kai does a little scouting ahead, calls forward to Namek, gets a lock on Frieza. And yeah, it's Frieza. So no.
Yeah.
Specifically then states that he's only training these guys if they also agree not to fight Frieza.
You know, with the foresight into Battle of Gods.
Yeah.
And knowing that Beerus is apparently like somewhat directing Frieza's actions, and King Kai knowing about Beerus, why is King Kai scared of Frieza when he knows that Beerus would take the side of the Kais over the side of Frieza? So Beerus would just come save King Kai.
Yeah, it's also, I'm not sure why King Kai necessarily, well, maybe you can just say King Kai appreciates life, but King Kai not in any danger. Frieza can't get to him. He would have to die to get to him.
And there's lots of people that died from Saiyan, so Goku still needs to go to Namek.
Yeah.
Because King Kai's thing is, Goku, don't go there. Don't interfere with Frieza. Don't do anything that would piss Frieza off. You're done.
Yeah, but that's not happening.
We're already building homes for everyone here on my planet. They're not going to come back to life. We're chilling.
Yeah. But, all right. Give it up, gang. You're staying dead.
All right. So just to make sure we do hit it, let's talk about the major events really fast. Piccolo, Tien, Yamcha, and Chiaotzu begin their training with King Kai. Vegeta runs into Zarbon and begins his battle with him. Those are the two major events from the wiki in this episode. There are several other things to mention, but I think the two main things are that we restart back over and get a callback to 40 episodes prior, well, 30 episodes prior to finally getting to King Kai's place, finally starting the training arc with King Kai.
Yeah.
And you have to tell King Kai a joke and make him laugh.
Yeah, it wasn't super a funny segment to me. I'm not going to lie. Like
what are you talking about?
Bro, just the bit went on a little long. Like, I get the bit, but...
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
I know. And forgive me for not thinking it's the most humorous thing in the world, but...
It has over 300 likes.
It did hit over 300 likes, so I will take that. And you even got a reply from The Truth DT.
And Goresh. Where's my Dada Doya reply?
Do you think they both know that it's a reference? Or do you think they just appreciate real humor? Anyway, I'm busy watching real humor like Jeff Dunham and other amazing comedians. So I don't know if I may like your tweet. I'll have to see if I can get around to it. But you know, I am pretty busy on Twitter these days. A lot of sub communities to stay up to date in. But yeah, no, the bit went on pretty long. I actually appreciated Piccolo's addition to this bit more than Tien's.
Yeah. Monkey business.
I don't have time for this monkey business. That's like an actual.
I kind of wish, like, cool, Piccolo's a Chad. He can withstand the 10x gravity on King Kai's planet. He goes and gets bubbles like that. But I kind of wish that, or wait, yeah, he is bubbles. I kind of wish that we would have got to see Yamcha, Tien, and Chiaotzu actually see if they could catch him.
Yeah, no, like...
Because they were walking on the planet like Goku was at first, right?
Yeah, like actually train.
You even mentioned, like, they probably still need that training.
They do, because if they can't catch bubbles, they can't walk on the planet, which means they can't train.
Yeah.
So they need to do that training. Piccolo can skip to Gregory. That's fine. He proved himself. But they could
Gregory
use
even around? We have not seen Gregory.
They did mention it, though. They said, level two, you have to catch Gregory. So Gregory was confirmed, still alive, and still in the anime, and not written out of existence. Even though today, Gregory faces that battle every day of his life. Just you know, in the wiki especially, he's always fighting. In fact, I'm surprised they didn't bring it up in this episode's differences from the manga section. Or have you looked at?
I haven't looked at.
We may be cooked. But yes, Bubbles is there. Piccolo does, like you said, manage to catch him. Nobody else gets to even try. Tien tells the iconic joke that you heard and maybe have even seen on a Nanogenics Twitter account near you. And then, but yada yada, dude, I barely cared about this half of the episode. Let's get to the second half. Yes, dude. I was locked in on
Vegeta
Zarbon
and Zarbon.
Vegeta. Yeah.
And it's so sick.
Dude.
That's a good ass fight.
Zarbon is cool.
I was telling him in the reaction, like, he's been glazing. I mean, he's been over here, like, making donuts. Call him hit, bro. The way he'd be over here making donuts. But the glaze, I think, is starting to splash over on me. He's getting glaze on me.
It's hard to control it, honestly. When I'm working that hard, like, when I'm going side to side like that and forward and back,
yeah,
it gets a little hard to contain. There's going to be a splash zone, naturally.
So I've got a little bit of that glaze on me, and I ain't going to hold you. Maybe Zarbon is kind of cool.
Zarbon is really cool. He's maybe like one Zarbon's of the best. Cool. He's like one of the best henchmen.
Yeah, maybe the best henchman.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's not really that much competition in the henchman game, to be honest. Yeah. Like Cell Jr.
Well, wait, though. We did say androids can...
We do count 17 and 18 as kind of henchman vibes.
I would I'd still go 17 over Zarbon, but Zarbon's up there. I should probably go 17.
And 17 18. Is like... I mean, we're counting them, but are they like henchmen? Like, they don't like...
They're Zarbon. Not really. Yeah, they're not really.
But, I mean, we'll count them in the fact that they're like sub-villains, right? Like,
sure.
But... I mean, in terms of filling the henchman role, I mean, show me somebody that does the job better than Zarbon. I mean, we're seeing that this guy is proving his worth here. Because Vegeta's been running that mouth for too long. And while granted, yes, he beat the fuck out of Zarbon here, the episode ends with, you know, Zarbon maybe revealing that there's something more in store.
Ooh,
he's kind of laughing.
Dude, the animators go crazy too. Whenever Zarbon's on screen, they're like, we got
to
make sure.
It's rare for Zarbon to have a bad shot. Like for him to look bad. Like we watched Battle of Gods and Beerus was getting bad shots left and right. Zarbon, every time he's on screen.
I'm the one that brings it up all the time.
Brings up what?
Nothing.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what we're talking about. But Zarbon, they don't miss when drawing Zarbon. That's what it is, bro. Zarbon is just, maybe his design's too easy to animate, but they cook every time. He did a beam attack. He did Elegant Blaster. And then Vegeta deflects it for like one of the first times, dude, it feels like in the series.
No way did you know that off the top of your head like that.
What? Elegant Blaster?
Yeah.
I mean, because in Xenoverse 1, my character knows that move.
Oh, okay.
Because Zarbon's too sick. And I just like the way it looks. Like he puts his arm to his other arm and does this.
It's so sick.
It's really cool.
It is.
And also in Xenoverse, it just has a really cool effect. You like, before you blast, you like teleport invisibly for a few feet. So you can like appear somewhere else and like Elegant Blast them. It's pretty nice in that game. I can't lie.
Listen, maybe Dodadoya Namek Saga Glaze was warranted because I'm really enjoying these episodes right now.
After fake Namek, bro. As soon as they get down on that grass.
On Namek soil.
On that poor climate change soil, dude. It is hitting. It is so good. What little trees that are there, they are providing all the oxygen the show needs, bro. It is on forever.
The only thing we've not really mentioned that happens in this episode is Krillin and Dende being seen, like seeing the clash. Like they're not far from the clash of these two.
Yeah, they see the explosions and then they
bounce.
They high speed. Now they can go high speed because Vegeta's preoccupied.
Zarbon has Patara earrings.
Is that mentioned?
No.
Yeah, he just has earrings.
Have you ever had a piercing?
No.
You haven't?
No. Have you?
Do you think I have?
I give you like a 40% shot.
You think it's 40%?
I'd give you 40%.
It's 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to have piercings.
Yeah. No, checks out. I could kind of see it.
Yeah. I had them. The only reason I even let them heal up is because when I got my job, my like corpo job, I was told I kept them for a long time. But I also then started doing over ears. And so I ended up getting some that were like a beginner. They were sort of like beginner gauge earrings, but I could like just leave them in at all times. Like I only took them out about like once a week to like clean them, obviously. And because they were like comfortable to have headphones on with. But then I ended up talking to my boss and he's like, listen, I'm not really supposed to tell you this, but if you want promotions, this is 10 years ago. This has probably changed at this point. But if you want promotions, like, you probably want to take the earrings out. And I was like, are you for real? Like I had bought so many earrings, bro. I had like, they always look like gauges too. They always look like gauges because all the ones I picked, I don't have my PlayStation controller, but at the time I had like the PS3 middle button, but the home button, they would take those from broken controllers and they made earrings out of them. Then I had the entire like set of like triangle, square, circle, cross. Like I had all of those X, whatever you want to call it. I had all kinds of cool things like that. And they all look like, they all look like gauges. I never actually fully gauged my ear or anything, but yeah, I used to have.
I was scared by gauges for sure. The full ones, not like the,
I would have never went super big, but I thought I would do just like a little bit, And the whole reason I even ever got them pierced is because someone told me that they didn't want me to get them pierced. And so I went and got them pierced just out of spite.
Damn, rebellion.
Yeah. And then I just kept them for forever.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I think that now that's just kind of sad, bro. Is your boss like in a probably just in a more like
I was talking to the girl that cuts my hair and she's like, I think you could go back through. And I was like, I had my wife look and she's like, you could not. We'd have to like re-pierce them. And I'm like, yeah. And I've considered it. I'm like, sure. But now I'm like, man, am I just going to look like the dude?
It would
like,
definitely. I'm not going to lie to you. It would definitely shock people now, I think.
You think so?
Because did you ever, you weren't Nanogenics when it was the
Pierce, right? There might be some videos of me having earrings in. Maybe in the early days. But also most of the time people act weird when my ears are shown because you don't see my ears ever.
I guess. Yeah.
Every video, unless it's IRL, including these. You don't ever see my ears.
I guess so, yeah. But that's why I think it would shock people.
But if you
more.
Look, the holes are still, like, they're still there. I can still feel them. They just don't go all the way through anymore.
Yeah. I think it would shock people, but I mean, nowadays it doesn't matter. I think when your boss said that, I ain't even gonna lie. I mean, I'm sure he was like.
A lot has changed in like 10 years.
I think
like
he was being honest with you, but I think that was just the result of a more, I mean, just being blunt, homophobic world, bro. That was just like earrings on a man.
You're probably right.
I'm probably right. And it's not even like, again, was it straight up like, you better take those out? No, he was just like, if you want promotions, maybe they shouldn't be in there. It's like, okay, dude.
Dude, and I had so many cool ones. I think I finally threw them away because once they sealed up, I was like, well.
It's over.
I guess I'm done. Like, sorry. Zarbon had earrings. That's why I brought that up. Okay. Anyway.
You saw Zarbon's earrings and you thought of a better time. You're like, damn, I could have got promotions.
Is there anything else you want to mention before we go to differences from the manga?
No.
I'm trying to, you know what? Maybe I've never done YouTube with earrings.
Also, wait, I do want to say one thing since we were on the earrings.
Let's hear it.
So I'm not even going to lie. The reason I never entertained earrings was also because I didn't know the rules on it. And again, the world was just more homophobic back then. I'm not saying thought anything less of gay people or anything like that. But just like literally, I had another family lived with my family for a while. And the older guy who I looked up to a lot, he was kind of like my fake older brother. Like we weren't related, but he was like my older kid role model. And he had an earring on one side. And he was like, it's very important you get it on the right side. Because if it's not, not like literally right side, but I can't remember which. But he was like, one side is cool and playboy. The other side is gay. And I was like, fuck, I just can't take that chance. I was like, I literally, that's the kind of world we lived in. I was like, damn.
Isn't it crazy? Yeah, isn't it crazy how so much has changed?
Back then, the rules were so crazy, dude. Yeah. I was like, and again.
I just had them both pierced, so.
I don't know if like, if schools are, I wonder if schools are different. Because like eating bananas, I definitely used to eat bananas like, I would clip the banana off and eat it like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's just the way
I just go to town, bro.
But again, I can't even describe it like this because me and all my friends were not homophobic. We were not. We had gay friends, but it was also like we would have gay friends and be like, but I'm not gay. I can't describe to you what it's like. It's literally crazy. It's actually like nonsensical looking back. It's just like, it was just a different time, dude. It was so weird.
Man, I'm so upset. I have no pictures
of my. You were just on a memory tour. You missed these things, man. You want your PlayStation buttons back in?
I do kind of the PlayStation buttons.
You miss. Don't be surprised when Nano shows up to key moments with the PlayStation buttons.
The PlayStation buttons specifically are the ones that I'm like, man, that would be so cool to have those back. Just those, really. I'm not trying to have. I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, it's not really. It is what it is. Anyway, let's talk about differences from the manga. I know where I can find one other, and I'm like, but where is it? I know she sent me it.
Oh, why pictures.
Is it, why is it not?
I thought you were like, one more difference from the manga. I know where there's a hidden.
Maybe she airdropped them to me. Is that why I can't find them here? That's probably why I can't find them. Brianna was like, you know, looking through pictures, and she sent me some where I had
the PlayStation buttons.
Where I had the PlayStation buttons.
Damn.
It was back in the day. We did this like paint photo shoot where you like, you throw paint on each other and then you take pictures together. And I definitely had them in for that. I know you didn't ask for that.
What do you mean? No, I mean, I've never heard of the paint photo shoot thing. I've never really done a lot of photo shoots.
Have you not?
No. They seem fun, though.
I have no idea where that is. So anyway, in the manga, King Kai believes Piccolo when he says he won't face Frieza because he has a trustworthy face, to which Piccolo thinks King Kai must have bad eyesight. In the anime, he has no such thought.
Yeah, that's just kind of funny, though.
Yamcha, Tien, Chiaotzu, and Piccolo telling King Kai a joke to receive training as well as trying to catch bubbles are exclusive to the anime.
True. I could tell that. It just kind of felt like not needed.
Yeah. Trivia. This is actually interesting.
Okay.
I didn't even notice this.
Hmm.
Did you notice a character we didn't see once in this? It's a pretty big, like...
Frieza?
Nope. We definitely saw Frieza because...
Oh, yeah, King Kai
zones in on Frieza.
No, then. I have no idea.
This is the first episode since he was introduced in which Gohan does not appear. Yep.
I guess, yeah, I didn't even notice because... I guess he was at the very end of last episode, so yeah.
No, look, there it is.
Oh, he found it. He found the PlayStation button.
See the cross?
Oh, yeah. That is just the X button from PlayStation. That's the paint photo shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the paint photo shoot. You guys, that is another trait that people, honestly, they would probably assume about it. But you guys are very good at like the, in your household, there are a lot of like family portraits and stuff. Like family photo shoots.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, you know, like movie family stuff.
Movie family,
like a Hallmark movie.
What are you saying? That looks like something that would just be like,
yes, like that would be like Joel in The Last of Us would be like, I remember when me and my wife did the paint photo shoot.
I do remember doing this. This is at my grandparents. This is on my grandparents' house.
That you just did that by yourself? Like it wasn't like a professional photographer.
It was just is her cousin.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. It turned out pretty good then.
I mean, thank you.
No problem.
It was a good time.
No problem.
It was a good time. Anyway, Tien's joke differs depending on which language version, though most seem to be based on puns. In the English dub, the joke that Tien tells King Kai in order to make him laugh is, you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. The reference is between the word combination of tuna fish
and
tuna fish.
No way. Wow.
And the original Japanese version of his joke is, you think what's up your nose is secret, but really it's not. Being a play on words of it's not. The European Portuguese version is say me, what's the color of Don Jose's white horse? While in the Brazilian Portuguese, it is the photographer's secret is still not revealed, a play on the procedure of photo rendering.
I don't get that one, but
in the original Japanese, the first 15 seconds of the next episode preview were devoted to the next week's show, and the other 15 seconds were devoted to a movie ticket lottery for
World's Strongest. No, the one we're going to see.
The Tree of Might. You guys got to stay tapped in on the podcast because we are about to be doing another movie reaction. Matter of fact, we have to just watch two more episodes and we are technically at the point that it is time to watch the movie.
But Nana, with that said, we have to rate the episode.
We have to rate the episode, Donna.
Damn it. I was going to have such a beautiful little outro there. I was actually going to set up an outro for the first time and then the jingle was going to come in. But damn it. All right. So what were you thinking? Honestly... Should I go first?
Let's just do the same time.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, 8.
I'm also going to bump it up. I was very thinking about keeping it the same just because the joke bit went on.
Dude, that
was
so
good. The Zarbon versus Vegeta was so cool that I would watch it again just for that.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to find an 8 in Saiyan Saga. Let's see what you thought was an 8 in Saiyan Saga.
Okay.
You called Hero in the Shadows an 8.
So like when Yajirobe steps out.
Yeah, but it's still grade A stuff. And then before that, you called Nappa's Rampage an 8. My 8 in the Saiyan Saga was Goku's Arrival, which you gave a 7.
Damn, I was harsh.
But then you glazed like crazy after that. 9, 9, 10, 10. You gave 3 10s.
I mean, it must have been pretty good.
You've already given a 10, though, in Namek, which is kind of crazy.
I know. And we haven't even gotten to, like, the good crazy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, hang on. So I've given out 3 10s. You've given out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Damn. Well, I'm a general. But what about your Kaioten? Are you counting that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Never mind.
That's a 10. It's just a 10. I was just, it's just fun.
I don't think it is. I think you probably are. Yeah, I think you probably are.
We'll see. But you'll find out probably not next week. Dude, what if Tree of Might's a Kai of 10?
That, I mean, that would be crazy. That would be you saying that it's better than Broly.
Nah.
Broly then, what is Broly?
Broly 10.
Broly 10.
Damn it, I can't think. Kakko 10.
A go get a 10.
Yeah. Yes.
A go get a 10.
A go get a 10.
Okay.
A go get a 10.
All right. Well, speaking of go get a 10, I'm going to go get some sleep so that we can go ahead and go back and watch these more episodes and then maybe get ahead and go watch a movie or something like that. Maybe get some butter popcorn. Maybe, you know, get some butter popcorn in the air. Let's see if Nano can recreate the magic from his career, his former career. And with that said, I mean, the music's been behind me the whole time.
That's
this,
so crazy.
This is like the first time in a while it hasn't snuck up on
us. Guys, leave us a rating, leave us a like, leave us a subscribe.
And just more importantly, leave us alone.